Spring is in full swing, and summer is just around the corner. A great time for a beach getaway at the Oceanfront Boardwalk Plaza Hotel in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. Enjoy the best of oceanfront accommodations and amazing dining right on the beach, both with great views of the ocean and boardwalk. Enjoy a soak in the heated indoor spa pool, or book the adults-only concierge level and relax in the rooftop hot tubs. Book online at BoardwalkPlaza.com or call 800-333-333 Beach. Thanks to the Boardwalk Plaza for being the Bridge Podcast Network sponsor.
Some of my favorite conversations have happened over the rims of mugs. I'm Denise Harper, co-host of The Bridge Morning Show with Denise and Chris, and program director for The Bridge. There's something special about sitting across the table from a friend, whether we've known them forever or for just a minute, with a good cup of coffee and an open heart. I hope today's conversation will inspire and encourage you. Welcome to another episode of Over the Rims of Mugs. I'm your host, Denise Harper. Today, we are in a coffee shop, one of my favorite places to be. We are in Rise Up Coffee Roasters in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And this has been a dream of mine to be in a Rise Up coffee shop. Beautiful, kind of just a cool place to hang out. I have a dear friend named Sheila Setzer here with me today.
Good afternoon.
Welcome. We go back a long way. A
couple minutes.
Our families have all kind of grown together, and I'm just so thankful for you, Sheila. You have embraced the life that God gave you, and you've done it so well. And I wanted you to be able to share some of your story today, because I think that there's someone who really needs to hear what God has done in your life and how they can have the faith to believe that He'll do it for them as well.
Amen.
So I welcome you here.
Thank you.
I thought I would ask you if you would just kind of start with, tell me about your family.
Absolutely. That's easy.
You're right.
So I am married and I have three children. Actually, four, because I have a daughter-in-law who's my child.
Yes.
And five grandchildren.
Oh, my
which
goodness.
Which is wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, that's
beautiful. We live in Milton. I grew up in Milton. We moved away as far as Lewis and Georgetown and then back to Milton. Some about Sussex
like
County
a,
just
like a homing pigeon.
Yeah.
Tell me about when you first came to know Jesus.
So I remember as a child going to Milford Church of God and just loving it. There was just, my heart was happy when I was there. So I feel like I knew Him then. My parents, when they stopped going, my Aunt Darcy and Uncle Lewis took us, and my grandma, Mama Dickerson, she went to Goshen Church in Milton, so I would be at that church with her once in a while, and I just absolutely loved everything about church. I would say I was about 10 years old, I don't know the exact date, when I went to a summer vacation Bible school with my next-door neighbor. And at the last day, at the very end of the last day, they said to us, if you would like to go upstairs to the sanctuary and receive Jesus as your Savior, come with us. And I was like, up out of my chair, upstairs, right at the altar.
Wow.
I was so excited to finally feel like I had this chance. And I remember Linda was her name. She was praying with me, and she said, I just want you to pray whatever's on your heart. And I said, I remember this so clearly. I said, God, you know I've been wanting to do this for a really long time. So Jesus, I just ask you into my heart, be my Savior. And that's the time that I was first received salvation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you had people around you when you were a kid that were getting you into the place of hearing about Jesus.
Yes.
And then for anybody who has ever served at Vacation Bible School, this is a testimony to not give up.
Absolutely. You may not ever see the fruit, but there is fruit.
That's so good.
Yeah.
So did you go right from you said 10, about 10, to like right on up through your teenage years? And
so no. So after that, some abuse started in my life and kind of made me turn inward and kind of rebellious a little bit. But I met this boy in school and he was amazing. And I just put all of my energy and time into my relationship with him. And got away from going to church and reading the Bible. And not that he drew me away. It was just the way things were going. I married him. His name is Tim. And by 5 years after being married, we had three children. One had passed. And I was just feeling that longing for Jesus again. So one morning, I just packed up my young daughter and my baby boy, and we went to church at Eagle's Nest. And Pastor Bill gave an invitation, and I in tow, both of them. We were all three up at that altar, and I rededicated my life to the Lord. And then that's when I really started walking with him, growing in him, and learning more about him.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I was 25.
The catalyst so often is we come to the end of ourselves and we realize that we're just not very good at being the author of our own life, of our own story, right?
Absolutely. I mean, things were messed up, but, you know, there's financial issues, there's marriage problems, there's all the things that you deal with, losing a child. Hard stuff in life.
Yeah.
And walking through it without him versus now walking through hard times with him, completely different. You just know that he is walking with you. If you seek him, he'll give you wisdom, he'll comfort you. Just, you know, it's a relationship with him.
Yes.
That is life-changing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So part of how we go back in time is that about the time that you were at Eagle's Nest, we were too, and we had little small children as well.
Right.
And God answered the cry of my heart to be able to be part of a Bible study with girls who just wanted to love Jesus and hang out. And we had, you know, we had kids all about the same ages.
Right.
And we did that for a very long time.
We did.
Right? Bible study every week for years. And I remember one day thinking we were in a something, one of the girls in our group, there were about maybe half a dozen of us, and we would make Bible study happen. It didn't matter. Like, we'd go to each other's houses, but if the kids were all out of school, it was the McDonald's play place, or it was the beach, or it was the playground.
Yes.
We'd find a picnic table and let the kids go play on the on the swings and stuff. And I just love that we could do life together. But there came, I remember a specific day, a situation in one of our friends' lives, and I remember thinking, these are the girls and their families that I will walk through really hard times with.
Yeah.
And it's true.
Yes.
And the investment that we've had over the years in each other's lives, it's going to bring me to tears. But it's powerful to have a circle that God gives you that you can bear each other's burdens.
Yeah. It was a gift. It is a gift.
Yeah.
We were very honest and open with each other. And because of that, we could minister to those deep places that, I mean, people to this day probably still haven't opened up about, you know, that are older than us. It's just a gift.
God has done amazing things in your marriage. I wondered if you would speak to some of that, what you feel comfortable with that that would encourage somebody who's going through the hard part of that.
Well, marriage is hard.
It is.
It's two people becoming one. And you know, we still have our own thoughts and our own feelings and our own ideas, and to meld that into one life is, it's a hard thing. We had some issues that we had to work through, and we did have a time of separation, and but our hearts were always for each other. So, you know, counseling.
Yes.
Lots of support from our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I remember a time that I wondered if we would be able to get through it. Mm. And because God walked through it with us and kept our hearts toward each other, mm-hmm. being on the other side of it now, it was all worth it. Mm. It was all worth it. Mm-hmm. He is just an amazing husband. We have a great life together, and I would walk through it all again to get where we are right now, because it's beautiful what God can do in a marriage.
Don't you love him so much more because of the sacrifice that you know you've both made?
Yeah.
And ultimately what Jesus did for both of you to become one.
Yeah.
And that gets to be on display for your kids,
right,
who are now all adults and parenting. And
they walk through everything that we walk through in our young marriage, in their young lives, in our marriage. So they see what was and what is. Mm. And, of course, you know, we're not perfect by any means. But, so they have been eyewitnesses to to what God can do in a marriage.
You've had to have some tough conversations, I'm sure, with your kids.
Absolutely.
Through that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they respect what you've been through and what you're saying.
I hope so. Yeah. Yeah.
I believe it. So one of the things that, when I was thinking about our time together, one of the things that really came to the surface for me was knowing that you had gone through, we talked about your grandkids. A couple of your grandkids got really, really sick.
Yeah.
And it was kind of touch and go for a while. Started out, if I remember right, RSV,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
They both ended up in AI DuPont.
They did.
They had
RSV, but they also had two other respiratory viruses at the same time. Mm. So their bodies just could not fight it. So they ended up at AI DuPont. In prayer, I knew that Tim and I were supposed to fast and pray. So we agreed together to do that. Mm. Ended up being 10 days that we fasted and prayed. But it was that bad. It was that serious. My granddaughter actually went code blue twice while we were up there. Mm-hmm. We had people all over the country praying, though. The station broke, I don't know what you call the
programming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And had
to
prayer.
Have prayer for them.
Yeah.
Just to see people come together. People drove from Rehoboth and Milton all the way up there just to pray with us. And I have 5 very healthy grandchildren now because God is faithful. And He was there with us and He saw them through. And they have no health issues.
Mm. That's such a beautiful praise. Was there ever a time during those 10 days that your faith wavered?
It did not. He gave me a measure of faith that I needed to continue doing what I was doing. Now, if I had not fasted, that may have been different, but I was obedient to that. Mm-hmm. And I believe that, you know, that was probably a big part of what needed to happen for their healing.
Yeah.
I will never forget the day that Pastor Rick came up and Gail, and there was certain numbers that were too low, too high. Everything was all over the place with them on my granddaughter. And he walked in the room and he prayed. And after he was done praying, I opened my eyes and I looked at those numbers. Because when you're there, that's what you do.
You watch
the numbers.
I know. Yeah.
I looked at those numbers and they had come back to normal while he was praying.
Wow.
So God used people.
Yeah.
To bring healing to them.
You mentioned the measure of faith that God gave you, and that's in situations that we go through. When we see somebody else go through something, we think, I could never do that. Could never handle that.
Right.
I think the fear of something terrible happening kind of can cause us to just kind of seize up almost. And the I heard Beth Moore talk about one time going through something with one of her girlfriends, and she mourned so deeply for her girlfriend going through this time, and to the point where it was almost kind of like she was out loud. It was just, you know, and she said God spoke to her and said, what is going on? And her first gut reaction was, I could never handle this. And his response was, I'm not asking you to.
Right.
And I've never forgotten that, because I think sometimes we see what other people are going through, and the fear that could happen to us can actually inhibit us from walking in the freedom that Christ died to give us.
Right.
And so he gives us what we need when we need it, right?
Mm-hmm. And my daughter had to battle for her children, mm-hmm. my grandchildren. I watched her battle the enemy. And I mean, he gave her a boldness and a strength and a courage during that time to stand up and, like, fight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible. And nobody can ever take that away. Once you've been through a war like that, you don't ever forget. Right. Yeah.
Right.
We hope you're enjoying this episode of Over the Rims of Mugs, made possible by Iconic Sparkle. Get fun and fashionable accessories such as necklaces, earrings, and bracelets that can go with any outfit for any occasion for just $5. Owner Mandy Heinch desires to change the world through her accessories and what it allows her to offer. Fashion accessory advice, boosting confidence, and training those who want to start their own business. Learn more at iconicsparkle.com or on their app.
How does God speak to you? How can you describe, like, what is it that, how do you know when God is speaking to you?
Well, first of all, that is the most exciting thing for me personally, is when he speaks to me, because I know I'm going to find out something I don't know, or he's going to direct me to do or say something, and I just feel like it's an adventure. So when I get the sense that I'm getting ready to hear something, I'm like, what?
But it's not an audible voice that you
hear,
right?
I have never heard him in my ears. I have heard people say that, but mine is in my gut. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, I'll give you an example of just a couple years ago. I was doing my morning study, and I felt like I heard the word a glow. And when I felt that I heard that inside, I was like, oh, wow, a glow. And it brought back this memory of going to an aglow group in Milton with my grandmother.
Yeah.
And my grandmother, I'm telling you, she was a prayer warrior. I still believe her prayers are being answered to this day.
Yes.
And it reminded me of going to this aglow meeting with her, and it was just a very special memory. And then a couple days, 3-4 days later, again, a glow. I'm like, what is this? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember going with my mom. That was a great time. Yeah. And then the third time, I was like, breaks. Okay. That's how I know he's trying to get my thoughts moved somewhere else.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, what is this about a glow? I called you. I don't know if you remember.
I called you
and I said, Denise, is there an a glow around anymore? And you said, I don't know. Let me check. And you came back and you found one in Dover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I connected with her. And as things progressed, I actually just a few months ago opened a Milton a glow for ladies. And that's how it started. I just heard a glow. And it was the way that he ordered my footsteps to start this for him, for whatever his plan is.
Kind of gets our antennas raised, right?
Yeah.
When there's just that little, I love that it's not the full plan right from the beginning, because then we would just try to run with it ourselves, right? But he gives us just a little bit so that we will lean into him.
Yes.
And I love that. I love that about the Lord. And so you are leading this Aglow chapter, which I didn't even realize that Aglow ministry was still around.
I didn't either.
It was huge in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And 90s, early 90s maybe, but yeah. I had completely forgotten about it. And so how's it going? And what is AGLOW? What is?
So it's an international ministry. They're in, I think, 140 countries.
Wow.
Yeah. But basically, you go through some training and you have to lay out what you feel the Lord's put on your heart to do for your AGLOW mm-hmm. or for your lighthouse. Each one is different. Mm-hmm. And then if you're approved, then you can, you know, basically run your lighthouse the mm-hmm. way God's put it on your heart to do so.
You bring in different speakers?
I have brought in Sussex Pregnancy Care Center, Zoe Ministries came. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited about this. We have the Institute on the Constitution coming February 1st.
Wow.
And most of our meetings are for women only, but there are certain ones like that one that we mm-hmm. open up to men. So everyone needs to know their rights.
Yeah.
And I think it's time for God's people to mm-hmm. stand up and be bold and, mm-hmm. You know, start holding people accountable and maybe revealing some corruption
yeah.
that we've let go.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, it's and then one of our dear friends leads us in praise and worship, mm-hmm. and it's just always a beautiful night.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because it's for women, mm-hmm. and it doesn't matter what type of church you go to.
No,
it's open
not
to everybody.
At all. It
right?
is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at this ministry that you have, and so what. Are you a pastor? I mean, what's your profession, Sheila?
I'm a real estate broker.
What?
God can use anybody. Yeah, so right out of school, I started working for a local real estate developer, and I just fell in love with the whole business, finding homes for people to live in, helping them, you know, make their dreams come true, mm. and living in this area where I grew up and I loved growing up here, and now maybe their kids or grandkids will grow up here, because I just feel this is a very special place.
Yeah.
God lives here.
Yeah. Yes.
And so I really enjoy my job, and I work for a builder as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
That's You've got to share your faith through where you work
yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
Met some interesting people, I'm sure.
Yes. Have some really dear friends that actually go to church with us that, you know, I met
yeah.
buying their home.
Yeah.
Or selling their home either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
All right. So what's next for you?
I tell you, I'm not exactly sure. A few years ago, I felt like I was being led to go to Bible college. So I signed up to do online Bible college with Caris, which mm-hmm, is Andrew Womack's church in Colorado. Mm-hmm. So I completed my first year.
Hey, good girl.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So at the end of that was just about when AGLOW was coming up, and I was spending a lot of time, you know, getting things organized and started. So I feel like year two is probably going to start sometime here
okay.
soon. My grandson likes to call me a pastor. I'm not. But I'm just really open to whatever, however God can use me. Mm. I have received so much from him, mm. been forgiven so much by him, that I have said to him, whatever you want me to do or say, I will do it. So it's an open book that he is writing.
I love that.
Yeah.
So there's joy in your journey. Mm. I don't know if you're picking up on the joy, but there's life doesn't have to be just one step after the other, after the other. I mean, that is in theory what we're doing, walking it out. But I love that he gives us the fruit of the Spirit. It's evidence that God lives in us.
Yes, right? That's right. What everybody else sees.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what's one of your favorite scriptures? What's something that
So Romans, the whole chapter, or the whole book of Romans, but specifically chapter 8, mm-hmm. has always been my favorite. So all of those verses in chapter 8. That's my favorite scripture. Because of sin, to start off, there's now no condemnation for those in Christ. Well, what can get better than that? Because I know what I deserve.
Yeah.
But because Jesus loved me enough to pay the debt I owed, it's the best.
It makes it a delight to serve, doesn't
it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Anything else that's on your heart today that you'd like to share?
I just want to say to you that I mutually respect your walk with the Lord because you are an encourager and you don't even know what you are doing for your brothers and sisters, not only in Delaware now, but in New Jersey. And I am very much looking forward to your book.
Oh, Sheila, you did it. Wow, this has been a labor of so much love, just seeing God unfold a dream, really, of just being able to share what God's done.
Yeah.
One page at a time.
Yes.
And a collection of those coming out called Treasured Inside. And so, yeah, who knows? God knows.
Yes.
And that's enough for me.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for being my guest
today. Thank you.
It's always a pleasure to be with you. And I just love that we would have this opportunity to share how God's writing your story.
Yes.
So thank you, Sheila. And thank you for watching, for listening today. We want to say thank you to Rise Up Coffee Roasters in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. We're grateful for this location. As you've heard all the sights and sounds, I'm sorry you can't smell it today, but it smells wonderful in here. We call Over the Rims of Mugs, Over the Rims of Mugs, because some of my favorite conversations have happened over the rims of mugs. And so, likewise, today has been one of those. So until the next sip, I'm Denise Harper with Over the Rims of Mugs. We were never meant to journey alone. Whether you're having a great day or a hard one, we need each other to celebrate and to stand in the gap. Sharing our stories helps remind us that we're not alone. And when we sit with women who sit at the feet of Jesus, the conversations are different. We walk away feeling inspired, not inferior, because we know this Christian walk is a race, but not a competition. Thank you for listening to this episode of Over the Rims of Mugs. To share a comment, suggest a topic, or ask a question, email us podcast@wearethebridge.org. And please join me for a daily devotion on my blog entitled Treasured Inside. You can find it directly at deniseharper.blog or at wearethebridge.org/devotion. Until our next sip, I'm your host, Denise Harper, encouraging you to catch up with a friend or make a new one and enjoy some good conversation over the rims of mugs.